Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie. If God forbid what I'm now reading was true, and if Gavin Duffy, the presidential candidate in 2018, had been elected, the country would be preparing for a state funeral, because it's all across the internet. We are lost for words. Say farewell to Gavin Duffy. Gavin Duffy, good afternoon.
And Gavin Duffy, if I was to speak in the third party about myself, which I don't, is alive and well, and happy to report that, Joe. Sorry to be on your programme again, because in 2017, Liveline were good enough to feature this, and Joe, at the time, it stopped. The original version of this scam, which is a Bitcoin scam, which tells people that the current version, I've made millions from investing in Bitcoin. And for the record, I have never, ever invested in Bitcoin. I know it's a digital currency. That's about the height of my knowledge about the topic. But in the last week, as clickbait, they've been pumping out, they're spending about $40,000 a month advertising this with Facebook. And I'm told by the cybersecurity consultants I've hired in London to try and get to the source of this scam, that they must be making multiples of that, duping people into parting with their hard-earned cash to invest in Bitcoin. And, of course, they have nothing to do with Bitcoin themselves. They're just taking the money, and you never hear from them again. But this week, Joe, they've, as you've said, started saying that, well, the headline says, a tragic day for Ireland. And I don't think my passing could be described as that. In fact, it might be a celebratory day for some. But it is unfortunate. And then, Joe, there's always people who get taken in by that aspect of it. So my Aunt Maureen was 90 in Long Island, New York, on Sunday. Can you imagine the complications with COVID, etc.?
Of course,
So there was all appointments for, she's a mother to 10 first cousins of mine who live in New York State. So there's lots of grandchildren, lots of great-grandchildren, and all appointments were made where they'd come and wish Auntie Maureen a happy 90th. And, you know, the family are all being told, don't tell Auntie Maureen about, you know, her nephew's passing. Because the strange thing, it's had more credence, Joe, because, you know, in a COVID world, we're sort of not in touch as regularly in certain ways as we would have been. So we're getting phone calls to our home daily inquiring about the funeral arrangements, or where can people post a condolence if they can't come to the funeral, so on. So look, your problem...
But Gavin, I've checked with RIP.ie, you're not dead, you're not on it.
But how
do they monetize that? How do they get money? By putting up a post, Gavin Duffy, we are lost for words, sad farewell to Gavin Duffy. By putting that up, how are they monetizing it?
All right. Well, first of all, that headline, banner headline, as I'm now told it's called, is clickbait.
Yeah.
So you're scrolling. Imagine any of us scrolling through our Facebook or scrolling through whatever you're doing. You see that and you sort of, I sort of know that person. Gosh, she's dead. And they click into it. And then they read a story that, journalistically, Joe, it's credible enough. It's a story. And, you know, only last week I was on RTE talking about it. The government are very concerned about this loophole I've discovered, that you can make a tax-free fortune from using my scheme and investing in the way in Bitcoin the way I did.
Okay.
And then for every, I presume, 100 that see it, one person foolishly is taken in by it. And we've had a number of people phone our office this week who have been defrauded by it and parted with 100 euro. The question I ask asked the London cyber consultants this week, a risk guy, why me? You know, because, you know, I just wish they'd pick somebody else. But apparently, in an internet world, Joe, I search well because, you know, they're familiar. If you're in the UK seeing this, they know the BBC Dragons. Oh, yeah, there is a Dragons Den, or there was a Dragons Den in Ireland. Or, oh, gosh, yeah, you mentioned it. He was a presidential candidate, albeit a most unsuccessful one. But, you know, that doesn't sort of deceive them.
And you're well known under
But for this, for their purposes, you know, I come across as a credible investor. And people unknowingly, therefore, might be taken in by it. And they must be taken in by it enough that these people persistently advertise at about $40,000 a month with Facebook to promote this. So they're making more than that from scamming people. And Joe, I'm sure you've heard this before from people. Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult to deal with Facebook and to get them to take down these type of posts because they claim, well, it's the advertiser, and it's very hard to find the advertiser
You've hired a consultancy firm to try and track down.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Okay, the consultancy firm, as I said, is headed up by a woman called Sarah Holland. It's well known in the UK. It's called RiskEye.com, and they do reputation risk management. Sadly, it's a very expensive firm, but they've been carrying out an investigation, and they've established that this is originating out of Singapore, is where the originating website is. They then use a company called Cloudflare, and Cloudflare are very expensive and have a very good reputation. It's reported that some state intelligence agencies use them. But if you don't want, you know, somebody to know your identity, you can use Cloudflare as a type of security wall to protect your identity. And then, you know, if you investigate and go into the dark web enough through that source, we've landed with a phone number in Panama, but you can see there's a very circuitous global route to hide the identity of it. And what happens to a Facebook or a Google, in fairness to them, is, you know, I say, could you please stop this advertisement? And they stopped that particular advertisement today, but straight away it triggers the same advertisement again from a different IP source.
And as you say, if they're spending $40,000 a month on, is that $40,000 a month on advertising, they must be scamming an awful lot of people.
Yeah, I have to say, the people who contacted our office, and you know, we're in a COVID world, Joe, so our office isn't operating as normal. When I say our office, it's not our Dublin office. We're working from home, and my darling wife Orla, who runs the office, she doesn't like our student 20 somethings who are at college, supposed to be studying online. If they have an hour spare, they're made to work in the office. She loves lists and work and keeping them working, so they've taken some of the calls, and you know, it's shocking to think that, you know, you're talking to somebody you know who's lost £500 or euro, should I say, on this scam. And Joe, you've the old dilemma then. You know, if I say nothing about it, I'm almost an accomplice.
Okay.
If I said something about it earlier, you're sort of fueling it. You know, you're just hoping it went away.
But it is a sophisticated scam, Gavin.
It's a very sophisticated scam, and this is why I was told I was going to have to lawyer up and get consultants. Joe, I'd be embarrassed to tell you how much the London consultancy is costing by the hour, and a lot of hours goes into. Now, they're excellent, and it's a world that happily people like yourself, myself and others, most people listeners, are not familiar with. They don't have to be familiar with the dark web and how it works. But, you know, Joe, I've had no choice because You know, it's a funny thing, and I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning his name. A very good friend of mine, Seamus Farrelly, phoned me. And, you know, he was clearly shocked on the phone and delighted to hear that I'd answered my own phone and I was still alive. Now, part of you wants to have a laugh about it.
Yeah.
The other part of you is saying, what sort of an idiot are you to think I've done? But, like, you know, they hear it from somebody else who scrolled by it.
And
oh,
but Gavin, you're right. In since last March, every one of us, I think, has heard belatedly about someone dying.
Yeah.
Because people say, well, people might say, well, I can't, only 25, 50, whatever it changes from day to day, can go to the funeral. So there's no point in me ringing absolutely everyone. And we presume they see it. And people don't.
Yeah,
and I think that's a bigger phenomenon.
And the other thing that I thought was fascinating that the cyber consultants said to me yesterday, they pointed out that there's a lot of people working from home, mm-hmm. and during a break they'll scroll through something and they come across this. Now, you've got to remember, this is somebody, we'll say, in Manchester or Wolverhampton. They see this, they click onto it to see this guy has made a fortune from Bitcoin. They do a Google search. They've been at home and they haven't been able to socialise because there could be in Newcastle where there's restrictions. They have a few hundred quid to spare,
and they
take a punt. And this is how these people in Singapore are making money,
and that money is gone.
Illegally and fraudulently. But like, I still don't absolve entirely Facebook, because they're the people who are profiting from it as well. And my complaint, Joe, mm-hmm. is that there isn't any system that allows you to properly communicate with Facebook. Now, this is one of the biggest communication platforms in the world.
And you're one of the best communicators in the country.
Well,
so how do you contact Facebook?
Yeah, well, like, you know, I would sort of even a challenge, even the mighty Liveline, if I said, OK, could you get talking to a person from Facebook this afternoon in Dublin, you know, Grand Canal Square, you know, and so on. It's literally impossible. So it takes weeks to catch up with this. And unfortunately, I found I had to employ lawyers and cyber consultants to deal with this, because otherwise I'm an accomplice to people being duped. Joe, the thing about me being dead, look, you know, that's, I don't want to make a big thing about that, because I know I'm very much alive. And I, you know, if it's caused anybody upset or distress, I apologize for that. It's certainly beyond my control, and everybody would understand that. But what is a little bit worrying is, you know, a phone call from Tipperary this morning to the office from somebody who lost 200 euro, and, you know, you begin to realize the person who took the call, that was a lot of money to that person,
yeah, of course,
now that it was gone. And that's what they're doing, Joe. And I very much appreciate you giving me the opportunity to try and bring some attention to this.
Okay, so we are lost for words, which is not a phrase now we associate with you, Gavin. But that's the headline. Our sad farewell to our friend Gavin Duffy. It's apart from anything else, it's distasteful. By the way, Gavin, it's 2 years and a fortnight since the presidential election, isn't it? 2018. How have you been doing?
I've been doing remarkably well. You know, the presidential election finished. And what I found is the business world that I move in and service with my company, which was a very nice feeling, Joe. They're just, funny enough, delighted that I was back and available to them so quickly after the failed presidential campaign. And from that sense, you know, it was a fairly quick recovery. And I think anybody with any bit of sense at all would say I'd be very lucky to have an excellent president in President Higgins.
But do you ever look back, Gavin, and I don't know how much money was spent on it, and you talked about taking out loans and that. Do you ever look back and say, what was I thinking of?
Yes, I think you'd have to say you'd question it. But worse again, Joe, is in the run up to it, I never did question it because, like everything I would do, I gave it a full commitment.
I know that.
And Joe, this.
And when you say I do, what is your answer? What was I thinking of?
I was thinking that, you know, I wanted to offer myself and give people an opportunity and a choice for the presidency when they were voting in 2018. Okay. It's, you know, a fact of history that a historically low number of people considered my candidacy. But Joe, the amazing thing is I had a great team. They worked very, very hard for me. We gave it a shot. And I don't say this lightly, Joe, therefore I've no regrets. There's nothing I did in that presidential campaign I regret or I feel ashamed for. The question you're asking is the bigger question. Should you have run at all? That's a decision I made. And you don't turn back the clock. You turn the clock forward and you move on.
And at any time during the campaign, we attempted to throw your hat at it. Like when other candidates arrived along, Peter Casey, the independent, Sean Gallagher came back in, Leon Uribe for Sinn Féin, Joan Freeman, and yourself and Michael D, obviously. At any stage during the campaign, were you tempted to throw your hat in and forget about it?
No, I wasn't. But, you know, the time I should have questioned it was when we had the almost ridiculous situation that three of the candidates were from the one reality TV show. That's almost disrespectful to the office of presidency. And, you know, I say this, Joe, without any reservation, I would not have run had I not believed the other two were not running, you know? Okay. So I'm now in a contest that certainly changed, etc. And then, Joe, I think I owe you a full, frank and honest answer. I never considered pulling out, but I think I coped with my spectacular loss in the presidency all the better because with about 3 or 4 days to go, one of my team had a very serious sit down with me and informed me I was not polling well. And said, you know, at that time, Peter Casey had made his comments about the Travellers and it was playing with a certain section of Irish society playing well and it was going to do well for Peter in the polls, etc. And I clearly made my choice that I was not going to demonise any section of the Irish community to try and garner votes.
Now, so Peter would argue that it was a much broader, but anyway,
But Joe, the reason I'm just saying that is to point out the result didn't come as a huge shock to me. And therefore, I think I coped with it. I would hope much better. But then, you know, these things are all about the support you get from your family in the case of Orla and my
adult
children.
Did you lose any friends during it, Gavin?
Did I lose any? Yeah. I don't think I did.
Did anyone say to you, like, I like you, Gavin, but I'm not voting for you. I'm voting for Michael D or Peter Casey or Lee or Joan or Sean.
No. People don't say that. In fact, a lot of people promise you to vote. But what I have had since then is people think it's a great joke. And actually it is, probably the first 500 times you hear it.
Okay.
But, you know, I meet people now who say, hi, Gavin. Oh, I voted for you. I suppose you don't meet many people like me. In fairness, you have to laugh. And I did laugh for about the first 500 times I heard it. And now I pretend to laugh because, you know, it's funny, but it's also true. And
we all meet setbacks in life and some of them are much greater than others, but we all meet setbacks in the public eye. That's the other thing. Your setback was in the public eye, and I'm struck by, and I welcome the fact, and it's in praise of you when you said at the outset, people remember me as the failed presidential candidate. So you're saying, don't sweat the small stuff. Come on, no one died, lads. Let's get on with it.
Exactly, but sorry, just, you know, on the presidency. Now, you know, say I'm still delusional. I'm very, very proud that I put myself forward, and that I ran a decent and honest campaign, and if the people of Ireland didn't give consideration to my candidacy, I have to accept that's the common sense of the good people of Ireland. I've no problem with it. So, Joe, I hear you saying, yeah, look, it was a setback in the sense that, well, certainly it's not something to celebrate, but neither is it something not to be proud of in my mind. And as I said, I'm proud of it. And do you know what, Joe? I want to say thank you to you. There is that little stigma that hangs with it, because here's the interesting thing. Very few people ask me about it, particularly in the business world. Mm. You know, it's sort of, it's behind you. And that's when I said at the outset, the business community were only delighted I was back and available to them and so on. But it's funny, in socially even now, before COVID locked us all down, of course, and so on, people don't mention it that often.
Okay. And by the way, have you met any of the other candidates since?
I have. I thought some of the candidates, you know, it was, even though the media certainly give you no quarter, and I think that's important because you're trying to establish what is the character of the person who's running for the presidency. In the case of all six candidates, you know, who I knew before, after, and during the election, even though we would have had our disagreements, I was recently talking and met with Peter Casey, but would have been at some stage talking to us.
Yeah. Have you been to Áras an Uachtaráin the last 2 years?
No, I've never been to Áras an Uachtaráin.
Okay. Well, I know, in fairness.
I was in the garden of Áras an Uachtaráin.
Okay, I understand that, but you've never been inside. But I understand as well that it's been locked down effectively for the last 9 months. So, anyway, would you stand again, Gavin?
I don't think so, Joe. I think the people of Ireland...
Would you stand for any office? Elected office.
I was very, and am very committed. You know, I've since turned 60, and, you know, I'm very committed to doing something, you know, in the public service arena. Okay. And certainly it would have been said to me, you know, is it an overstretch that the first public office you run for is to be the country's first citizen? And I can understand that. So, you know, people would say, would you have considered something else? But, you know, I think I can be of public service without it being an elected position as well. So I'm certainly open
I don't know what your politics are, but given that you were chairing the leadership debates between Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar, have Fine Gael offered you any position of chairman of this or chairperson of that?
No, I guess, when you say what's my political background, I happen to be one of those unusual people. Okay,
but you're saying you would if you were asked to do a pro bono job in some state agency, you would gladly, if you could.
Would be most interested, Joe.
Okay. And
always available to do that. Now, you know, I have to be in fairness to the political. I haven't been seeking one actively either, but. You know, I do think certainly if people were to, you know, consider me for a position, if I felt I had the skills and the competencies to perform a role.
And all, as we know, has already been appointed to a number of bodies because of her own competence and
Orla,
ability.
Orla sits on the Broadcasting Authority and served on the board of...
So, Gavin, can I say an actual farewell to you now?
Joe, you're always welcome to say a farewell to me and always welcome to say hello.
Because, bizarrely, the call after the break is somebody, you're trying to convince people, which you've done extraordinarily well, obviously, that you're still alive, despite these guys trying to scam money out of people using your fake deaths. They're using it to try and get money out of them. Trying to convince people you're still alive. The caller after the break is trying to convince a state body or a commercial body that her husband is actually passed on, believe it or not. So, Gavin Duffy, kind regards to you and your family, and stay safe in these very difficult times. That's Gavin
Thank
Duffy.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Gavin. It's Gavin Duffy.